This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664 Seasons.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. You know what, Jeffrey? Let's just get right to it. We're going to have Jason Smith in the next segment. We're going to have Chris Harrington after that.
And then Maybe.
Did you not see the text?
Oh, no. What did it say?
Chris shoot around. It coincides. We're waiting for official confirmation.
Oh, well, then we may not get, we may not have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, but we do have Sam Hardiman. Right?
Indeed.
So we do have Sam Hardiman. So, well, this changes the plans, Jeffrey. Shifts our plans just a little bit. Oh, and I didn't write Sam back. Darn it. this is not the best start to my show ever. I just got to say that. Well, we're a little off kilter here at Odyssey the last couple days. And so there you
last
go.
Last 24 hours for sure.
Let's start over. Can you fire this thing up again? Let's start all
you
over.
You want to just do the whole thing again?
Yeah, just the whole thing over again. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. You know, now I understand the Tigers sometimes get off to a slow start. You know, that'll happen. Hey, it's human nature. It'll happen to anybody. Anyway, today on the radio show, Jason Smith joins us in the next segment. I was looking at my texts earlier, and I noticed that we may or may not have Chris Harrington today because he's in Dallas, and it corresponds to shoot around, his normal spot on the radio program, straight up at 10 o'clock. So we may or may not have Chris Harrington at 10 o'clock, but we do have Sam Hardiman, who we typically have earlier in the week, but he was otherwise occupied. There's been so much civic news, city news, that I'm glad we got Sam. We didn't want to skip him this week. So that's the lineup. Jason, maybe Chris, and Sam Hardiman. Jeffrey, before I start, I did want to ask you this question. Have you ever had the bacon wrapped stuffed shrimp at Cafe Olé?
I don't think so.
Have you ever been to Cafe Olé?
I have been to Cafe Olé, but I don't think I've had the bacon wrapped stuffed shrimp.
Well, it's going to survive, but Cafe Olé is no more. You heard that.
I saw this in the early word.
Yeah. I haven't been to, I think I went to Cafe Olé when I first got to Memphis. It was at a time when we had maybe, you know, three Mexican restaurants in the, we had Poncho's, right? Poncho's was a real place, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And we had Cafe Olé, and then you had the place, Molly's. Mm-hmm. Molly's over there on Madison.
Yep.
And
just gonna leave salsa out of this.
Did we have salsa back then?
I'm pretty certain. I've been hating that place for like 35 years.
But now we have roughly 6,726 Mexican restaurants, and that's not counting food trucks, right? So Cafe Olé, if you want to go to Cafe Olé, today's your last day. Because after dinner tonight, it closes and will reopen as something else. As something else. Now, the guy who owns Cafe Olé, I didn't know this. I read it in the Daily Memphian this morning. Kendall Robertson also owns. Did you read this part or did you just look at the headline?
I just saw the headline.
Do you know what else he owns?
I do not.
Alfred's? Dyer's?
Yep.
And Automatic Slim's?
That's a pretty good portfolio.
That's a pretty damn good portfolio. Like if you were playing Memphis Monopoly,
yep.
And you had those four, you're like, you're gonna land on my restaurant at some point.
Those are staples.
Those are definitely staples. And but he said they are gonna reopen. It's right there on the corner, obviously in Cooper Young, and so they're gonna reopen and as something else. What would you like the something else to be? This isn't. Because this corner needs it, or because whatever else. This is a what do we not have?
Sports bar.
We do, though, don't we?
Not really.
Okay, is Max's not a sports bar?
I mean, it is by definition, they call it a sports bar.
But I confess, never been to Max's.
But I don't think of it as, like, to me.
Sort of my bar going days are mostly behind me.
It's small with not a ton of TVs.
It's small with not a ton of TVs.
Yes.
It's not a classic sports bar.
Correct. Still a great hang. Great spot.
How about we always hear from Frank?
Frank of the Skybox. But again, I'm talking in the city limits.
Oh, you're talking in the city limits.
Yeah.
We need a sports.
We've got Brookhaven, okay. Kind of.
And why is it? Is it really only kind of? Is it a sports bar?
I think of it more as like bar food. The outside has become more sports bar-y because the amount of TVs, but it's still not like,
it's not a, it is a bar that can double as a sports bar.
Correct.
Right. It's minors in being a sports
right.
bar. It's major is bar.
Correct.
It's minor is sports bar.
Yes.
You would have it be.
I'm talking wall-to-wall television. Let your boy cook. Now, I don't know if Midtown will be open to that, but.
It probably wouldn't be the place to put it in Cooper Young, right?
No.
And I want a Cuban restaurant.
Okay.
That's what I want. I want a Cuban restaurant. Again, I don't know if it's right there that you'd have it, but I learned to appreciate Cuban food during my years in Miami.
For sure.
And it's sensational. Honestly, there's a lot of pork in Cuban food, so that would be an easy transition for Memphians to make.
Absolutely.
Right? It's a lot of pork and rice and black beans and delicious coffee, and it's just Cuban food would be what I would put at Cafe Olé. But if you want to get there, celebrate a Memphis tradition before it closes, today would be the last day. But it's also a big day in sports. We got the Tigers and the Grizzlies both playing tonight. And I thought I'd start with the Grizzlies because, well, Chris is there in Dallas. And I don't know. Is this as close to a must-win as they have? I mean, we all acknowledge there's no such thing as a must-win in the regular season, right? But I think this is as close to a must-win as we have had this year, right now.
Must win or can't lose.
I think those are kind of
the
same.
No, they're not.
How are they different?
Can't lose means you can play bad, just can't lose. Must win means like...
No, must win and just win too and can't. I actually, to me, though, if I'm drawing a distinction there, it would be must win means simply what it says. You have to, at the end, no matter how you play, emerge with the victory because of standings and everything else, right? Can't lose, to me, means if you lose this game, like, for example, if you're tied at the end of the regular season and you're tied, two teams tied for first in the West.
All right.
And it's literally the last game of the regular season. Right.
All right.
And you want to finish first. That's a must-win game. Right? That is a must-win game.
Yeah.
I'm
with you.
To the extent that there is one.
I'm with you.
But it's not a can't lose implies if you lose, what it demonstrates is the bottom is falling out.
That's why I think tonight's can't lose.
Well, that's fine, but that's if I'm drawing the distinction,
yep.
I don't think it's about how well or badly you play. I think it's one is there is you can lose a must win game, and it doesn't mean that you are a disaster. In that example I just gave, you're tied for first in the West, you lose it. It doesn't mean you're a disaster. There's no disgrace in it. You're bitterly disappointed because you would have finished first. But it doesn't suggest awful things about your franchise and the state of the franchise. Whereas a can't lose, and I'm kind of not buying into the distinction, a can't lose is the floor. It's like it's I don't really follow stocks very closely. I don't pretend to be really good at it. I just, to the extent that I have a 401k, I put it in the S&P 500 and just let it ride. I don't. That's what I do. And now, right now, I got to tell you this: riding the wrong way. But people talk about, you know, these floors that stocks have, right? This
sure.
Whatever and so it feels like this is, if this floor gives way tonight, holy crap! How far can the fall be?
Yes.
Right now, you look at the standings, and it's less fun to look at the standings than it used to be. But right now, the Warriors won again last night. The Lakers won again last night. The Lakers and Warriors both 8-2 in their last 10. The Rockets, who've been struggling themselves, they beat the Pelicans last night. And so the Grizzlies are now 2.5 back of the Lakers. They're 2 back of Denver, and they are 0.5 game ahead of Houston. And don't look now. They are 3.5 of Golden State ahead of Golden State.
Yep.
If they lose to this Dallas team, starting Dwight Powell, Spencer Dinwiddie, Najee Marshall, Klay Thompson, Max Christie, if they lose to this Dallas team, I don't know how far the drop can be. I don't. There's no reason if they lose to this Dallas team, they can't lose to a Pelicans team that has been playing better of late as well.
I mean, Jeff, right? If you lose to this team, you can probably just
you can lose to anyone.
You could lose to Utah.
And then, like, I believe right now, if you ask me, what's the most likely scenario for the Grizzlies the rest of the way? I would say the most likely scenario is I'm kind of prepared to concede in my mind that they're going to be in that 4-5 game. They're not catching the Lakers. They're 2.5 game back of the Lakers. Lakers have won 8 straight. Like, Lakers are a wagon now. They're not catching the Lakers.
Pushback I would say, though, is they've won 14 of 16. It's still unlikely to me they keep up that pace.
They don't have to keep up that pace to stay ahead of the Grizzlies. They got a cushion right now. They got a two and a half game cushion on the Grizzlies. I don't think the Grizzlies are catching the Lakers. I don't think they're catching Denver either. And so that puts you in the 4-5 game where you're 0.5 game ahead of Houston. And we saw, and by the way, Houston is the tiebreaker.
Yep.
So
you have to finish a full game ahead of them.
You're virtually tied with Houston. And they have the tiebreaker.
You're virtually 0.5 game back.
And don't look now. I would have said the worst they're going to do is fifth. But again, if they lose tonight's game, literally, if the next 10 games go anything like the last 10 games, that 3.5-game lead you have over Golden State's gone.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom. Gone.
Well, no, I mean, I looked it up yesterday. There's 20 games left. My back-of-the-napkin math says they're going to be favored in at least 7. But let's say they go 7-13. That would mean, at this point, the Warriors would have to go, because now the Warriors have 19 left. Basically, the Warriors would have to go
12-7. Depending
on the tiebreaker, they would have to go 11-8.
That's totally easy.
Sure.
I mean, they just went 8-2.
Right.
Since Jimmy Butler, they've gone 8-2. So, don't look now, but sixth is within reach.
Yeah, I still would play the odds.
I think they are going. Here's what I believe: they are going to open up on the road to Houston.
I think I think you could
as the most likely scenario. You tell me what's the most likely scenario, given that that Jaren's out for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to really run the numbers,
and you'd have to go through everybody's schedule or whatever else. So I'm just as top of the head right now. And again, we're reeling. We're reeling from what has happened over the last week. But here's the other thing. And the other thing, this matters for standings. It matters for all the reasons we've just discussed. It also matters for vibes, Jeffrey. You know, in the end, we've talked about the Memphis Tigers and how they turned their season around. But what sunk them last year? Was it their three-point defense? Was it turnovers? What sunk them last year was vibes.
Yeah, they didn't like each other.
And I don't know that that's the issue. I wouldn't say that that is the issue. I don't think the Grizzlies don't like each other. But it's a vibes problem. It's a health problem first. Let's be honest. It's a health problem. And then it's a vibes problem. Yeah, you could argue it's a strategic problem. It's a roster deployment problem. Yeah, there's a lot of problems. But I think the vibes problem is part of it. And obviously, a lot of that centers on Ja Morant.
And maybe it's a byproduct, but I would actually argue their biggest problem is they have a competitive spirit problem.
And that taps into the vibes problem.
Yep.
That gets into yesterday. Care factor. Oh, my God. Can you imagine talking about the problem with Tony, Mark, and Mike? And what we need is more from the care factor from them. More of the care factor. So massive, massive game for the Grizzlies against the Mavs tonight. We may be joined by Chris Harrington. Maybe brief. We may have to skip him, but we will we'll talk to him perhaps as well. We'll talk to Jason Smith in the next segment. So while we have that going on, you got the Memphis Tigers playing South Florida tonight on the most ridiculous. I mean, but I think it's a big night. In fact, I don't typically go and write live columns off of sporting events much anymore because I've kind of shifted. But I'm going tonight because
you want to see a party.
Yeah, I think tonight's the celebration. Like, it is true, as John Martin pointed out, that technically they clinched the share of conference title in their last game. Right?
Yep.
And they had also a big celebration against UAB. But those were both on the road.
Yep.
Here, you can clinch your outright title. North Texas won last night, which one would have expected. So you can clinch the outright title at home, last game of the season, senior night, all of that. Plus, as I wrote today in the Daily Memphian, it is the 50th birthday of Memphis Pom.
There you go.
How about that? All of that tonight. Now, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it is an 8 o'clock start. 8 o'clock Friday night start. That's weird. Isn't that a little weird?
Yeah, I mean, it's just not like it's not what you'd consider like a traditional college basketball time. But honestly, I don't.
You don't hate it? I don't like it.
Do the kids, are they on spring break?
I'm a lot older than you. I think this is just starting now. I think it's this coming week is a lot of spring break.
Because you're a student, the old 8 o'clock start. You can get a little lubed up, make a night of it.
Well, maybe. The students, they've been better, honestly. They're not a huge presence typically at your Memphis games. You know who is? People 70 and older.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't tend to do as well after 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Games that go from 8 to 10:30. So I'm not wildly enthusiastic about the start. They do say, by the way, get there by 7:45 because it is senior night. And, of course, senior night, among the things that have been ruined by the world, what have we said, Al? You always point to opening day, signing day, January 1st.
Yep.
Things that once were something that are no longer something. Senior day is another one because you got Colby Rogers, Dane Danger, Tyrese Hunter, Nicholas Jourdain, and Musa on senior day. And it's just true. Once upon a time, senior day was, I remember when he first signed here, played barely minutes as a freshman. Look how far over the 4 years they've come. Now the leading scorer. Remember the NCAA tournament back in sophomore year. Like, whatever. There's a whole career to look.
It's coming out party.
Well, you know what? We get to know the family of the person, sure. You know. DeAndre's mom or whatever else, you know. And now it's like,
I mean, only one of those players has been here for more than a season.
Yes. I mean, Musa. Musa.
Well, yeah.
Musa. Musa correct. Has been here
only
2 years.
Only one of those players was on the team
Jourdain
last year.
Nicholas Jourdain has been here 2 years, and Musa has been here as well for 2 years. But yes, Colby Rogers, Dane Danger, Tyrese Hunter, they have not exactly spent their entire careers here. Now, mind you, they deserve to be celebrated.
Yeah,
they 100% deserve to be celebrated because they did something for this city that deserves to be celebrated. So it should be. I think it'll be. I don't think it'll be a massively attended party, but it should be a party where you are celebrating winning a conference championship. Knock on everything. But you're playing a South Florida team that has lost 6 of 7, including 3 in a row. Now, Memphis did, as you will remember, lose to South Florida last year at FedEx Forum in dramatic fashion. They were up by 20 at the half game. Remember that?
Yep.
And, but anyway,
I think that was the
start of the unraveling.
But I believe also that was the don't come snowstorm game.
Yes, that was the don't come snowstorm game. But they did earlier this year beat them 80-65. They out-rebounded them in that game 51-34. So if you want to celebrate this Memphis Tigers season, you can do that tonight at FedEx Forum, which will hopefully be a party. But I also wanted to say something about Memphis Pom because I did a column on Memphis Pom, and it really is. When I moved to Memphis in 96, there were a bunch of things that were different. Like, I couldn't believe that you drive around and listen to sports talk radio and what they were talking about the whole time was college basketball. Like, that just, I'd lived in Boston, I'd lived in Miami, I'd lived in Buffalo, I'd lived in Anniston, Alabama, I'd live in I'd lived in Manhattan, I'd lived in D.C., never was I in a place where the main topic was Memphis, was college basketball.
Yep.
So that was a bit of a stunner. There were other things that surprised me. Being asked very early on if I'd found a church home, that wasn't something that up north, certainly you get asked.
Even like in Anniston, though?
In Anniston, you'd be asked that, yes.
Yeah.
But up north, you wouldn't.
Yeah, no, totally.
Up north, you would. In Miami, you wouldn't be asked that
sure.
either. So that was different as well. I very quickly adjusted. I'd seen this in Anniston to fried chicken and gas stations mm-hmm. and stuff. Like that was a happy development in my life.
Not for your waistline.
But that's a little pointed, but mm-hmm. you're right. The fuss over this dance team like was like what
we love winners.
And it really is, you look back at what they were and what they have done, the dynasty that they have created, And I talked to Sherry Ganong, who started the whole darn thing. She was a student at first year at Memphis State. She didn't go out for the team. And then her next year she did. And it was barely a team. She said Tommy Ferguson was the band director at the time. And we were at City Silo when I was interviewing her about this. And she said, and here's how it went in interviews. She said, the girls, and they're all called girls, like they still call each other girls all the time. And if they're calling each other girls, I'm fine calling each other girls. I try to go, you know, I try to say women after they're of a certain age, but whatever. And she said, and the girls would line up and the line would be a long line. And you had to wear KEDS. KEDS, do you remember KEDS?
Oh, yeah.
KEDS a thing?
It's like the white, it's like the plainest of plain shoes.
And Tommy Ferguson, and then she got up and she walked up and down in the City Silo. She said, he'd just walk up and down and he'd look you up and down and then he'd walk behind you and he'd do the same thing. And that's how he picked the team. And we were fine with it. And she said they were horrible. She remembers getting booed. They were some cowboy routine they did. Actually, she said there was some talent on the team. I guess a lot of the early team was from Bartlett, but some talent, not the kind of talent that Tommy was talking about,
right,
but some talent, yes, on the team, but they didn't practice. They didn't whatever. Anyway, her junior year, she basically became the player coach. And then for the next essentially three decades, she totally transformed that team. And, you know, when they started doing competitive dancing at one point, they won the first one and then they won the next eight. They won nine straight of these. And the story she tells about Al McGuire is that he sort of put them on the map. Al McGuire, of course, the old Marquette coach, who then became a color commentator for NBC, that he showed up one day at the Mid-South Coliseum and he just chatted with her. And she said, listen, I'm a little nervous because we used to wear cheerleader outfits, and this time we're wearing unitards, which are more risque than anything we've worn before, and it's in the Bible Belt, and I'm a little worried about how it's going to go over. And so the game comes against Louisville, and halftime, Al McGuire's talking. And back then, they used to do whole shows. Like, they didn't just come out and do a number. They'd do whole shows. And he said, when we wrapped up, Al McGuire took his headsets off. He got down on the floor and he, you know, bowed to them. And she said, ever since then, we kind of took off. And I don't think I was aware of this. They used to go, they were flown to NBA games in Chicago, in San Antonio, in Miami to perform at halftime. They were flown to Japan to open up an amusement park. They were flown to Italy to do something with Dr. J and the NBA, to do some NBA promotion. They were included in the open of Monday Night Football two separate seasons with Hank Williams Jr. Like, there was the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, and then there was Memphis Pom. And it's funny, she's really great talking about this, Sherry is, because she said, yeah, was some of this about TNA? Of course it was. Like, they helped launch Diet Coke in Memphis.
Not New Coke, though, right?
Diet Coke. No, they wouldn't be involved with New Coke. They helped launch Diet Coke in Memphis. And what happened is Coke would provide the money. They'd all be on scholarship,
mm-hmm,
from Coke. And she said, so a lot of this was, you know, let's be serious. TNA was involved here, but they obviously were incredibly talented. And then what's happened is so it's the 50th anniversary, and tonight at halftime, 130 plus women, girls, are going to be back performing at halftime, and they're going to have one number that they all do together, and then the different decades will have a little thing that they did. And the rule was, as you go by the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the only routine that you could recreate for this halftime show is if it was part of a national championship winning routine. Like, it's like the franchise that only hangs championship banners.
Yeah, you know, they're UCLA basketball.
It's like UCLA. We don't hang. You know, we only
there's no Final Four banners.
We only draw from our routines that are that won national championships. And
were you invited if you didn't win a title?
Well, no, you were invited. Yes, you were invited. And let's be honest, the titles, they still come. Like, but there's two differences. One is They used to just have one title.
Right. Now there's like 8
billion. Now there's 6 categories, yeah. Right? Whatever else. So,
and then size. Yeah.
There's different categories and different whatever. But it's also much harder. Like, everybody does it now. It's dramatically more right. competitive. And so you're not sort of alone in the field. Or, you know, you're not the people who you created this. And now all these other people have come along. And so it's also much harder. So that they still do win national championships. It was harder for the 2000s to choose. They didn't have as much to choose from the 2000s as the 80s did.
Right.
In terms of national win. Anyway, they're going to be dancing tonight. And I went to one of the rehearsals. And honestly, talking to the women, there's one woman. She's a nurse practitioner at USC. She flew back here. And I said, why did you come back here? And she said, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. First, Sherry Ganong is 69. She's almost 70. I suspect she could fit into the same outfit that she wore when she started. Like, she's in unbelievable shape. She's a personal trainer. She's still dancing tonight at 69. She's part of the show. Almost 70. Turned 70 very shortly. And but this woman who came back said, This could be my last time to dance with Sherry. She said, and when I go through S in life, the voice that I hear in my head, her name back then was Elmore. Her last name was Elmore, this woman, Tammy Elmore. And she said, the voice that I hear in my head is Sherry's. When I'm running a 5K and I want to quit, it's Sherry's voice. Come on, Elmore. Come on, Elmore. She had cancer. I'm going through chemotherapy and I want to just curl up and die. It's Sherry's voice. Come on, Elmore. Come on, Elmore. Now, if you are a coach in any sport or a teacher or anyone who works with a team or a group of people, and you become that for them, a source of encouragement and inspiration that they are drawing on literally throughout their entire lives, that's a hell of a lot more than TNA. And that is what will partly be celebrated tonight at halftime. So I'm looking forward to, in addition to everything else, Tigers hopefully winning their first, clinching their first outright conference regular season championship under Penny Hardaway. I'm going to be interested in watching Memphis Palm as well. And that great celebration. I kind of wish, Jeffrey, like they used to do whole halftimes where they would, like they did Thriller, right? And they'd get dressed up in costumes and they'd be out. Now, let's be honest, halftime's mostly selling stuff.
Well, it's bathroom break.
You know, it's selling stuff. But it's also like on the court, it's promotions. You know what I mean? It's a series of promotions. We did, by the way, have some news from the American Athletic Conference today. Did you see this?
Did see this.
And the news was that there is going to be a floor. We talked about how much are these other teams and how much is Memphis going to spend of the revenue sharing, right? And the word is, this is from Ross Dellinger, the word is that American Athletic Conference presidents voted today to establish a minimum standard of benefits that schools are required to share with athletes in the new revenue sharing era, $10 million over 3 years, becoming the first conference to make such a move. Now, when I talked to Ed Scott earlier, he indicated that he was in favor of that. Like, you should have to, just in terms of keeping your conference competitive. If you're gonna belong to this conference, you have to spend X number of dollars. And he was also equally adamant that there not be a ceiling.
Yep.
Because Memphis doesn't want to be limited in what they can spend. So there you have it. Now, $10 million over 3 years, it's not a hell of a lot of money.
It's not, but I actually I celebrate this because...
I 100% celebrate it.
I think one of the criticisms or like one of the feelings that I think applies to the league and how Memphis feels about it, you kind of look around and you're like...
No one else is trying.
Who's serious?
Who's trying?
Yes.
Right, yeah. No, and it's why some of us have been so anxious for them to get the hell out, because who is trying?
Yes.
I mean, Tulane is... Trying football, clearly, right? Are they trying in hoops,
too? I think they try in basketball. I don't think they try to the level that Memphis does, but they clearly try in football.
Yeah. So, in the end, as you're looking around and you're complaining about the, justifiably, about the seating and everything else, it's been ruined because no one else gives a damn. You see that in scheduling, too.
Yep.
Scheduling and level of support. And once upon a time, Memphis could look out across the conference and they would see other teams, Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, that tried. Now it's much harder to see teams that try. And the presidents voted for that. And so that is news to be celebrated. All right, we're going to take a break. We got Jason Smith coming up next. We may or may not have Chris Harrington. We will have Sam Hardiman. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back in a moment.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff and... I've had a rough time today. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith, Jason and John, from 11 until 2 every single day. I'm an avid listener. So, Jason, Grizzlies tonight, is it must win or can't lose? Is there a difference? Jeffrey has persuaded me there's a difference between must win and can't lose, and I'm thinking it's can't lose, but what do you think?
I think tonight and the next three after that are all must wins in terms of if you want to, you know, avoid dropping below Houston. And then, as you point out, with the way Golden State's playing, if you don't, as Jeffrey points out, he was talking about how many games the Grizzlies are going to be favored in over these next 20. Well, it feels like there's a good chance four of them are going to be here in your next, you know, next few days, through now through March 12th, which ends with Utah. Now, that includes a Phoenix game, and we've seen that Phoenix team, you know, play you pretty tight this year. But all of them, to me, if you're going to, you know, not fall to six, then these are all must wins, particularly for a team that, what are we talking, they've lost 8 of 11. Like, that's
since the
trade deadline. These are, look at the records of these teams. Dallas has 8 guys out tonight.
I know.
Yeah, it's must win. New Orleans is 17-46. They're 14th in the West. Phoenix is still is below 500. If you are who we think you are or thought you were going to be before the season, you better win these next four. You have lost 8 of 11. It is absolutely panic time if you don't find some sort of swagger here over the next four.
I agree fundamentally that they've got to kill the next four. They certainly have to win tonight. Although – if you offered me 3-1 over the next four, I would take it because I'm not sure. Listen, you as you point out, Phoenix played you even, and your best weapon against Phoenix was Jaren. Like, they had nothing to stop Jaren, well, and they played the you even. So without who knows what you're getting from John any given night, and with Jaren out.
He says he shouldn't be out there. I don't know.
I'll take 3-1 tonight.
I'm not going to fight you on 3-1 when you're 3-8 since the trade deadline.
That's pathetic. It's pathetic. Do you what are you hoping for over the next 20? Like are you imagining that finishing second or third is even still possible? Are you just hoping to be home court in a 4-5 against Houston with good health and a better vibe? Is that what your aspiration is now?
What I'm hoping for is to see some fight out of this entire organization. You know, what that ends up looking like, we're probably wasting our time. But whether it's Taylor Jenkins with your job on the line here, or an organization that feels like, and Jeff, I might be getting ahead of myself here, but feels like we might be talking ourselves into, at least once, you know, if it's a first round playoff exit, yeah, we feel good about the Jaren contract. In many ways, this became a developmental year because of injuries and everything else. That's not going to be okay. And it feels like we're sort of headed in that direction, at least with what's happening on the court, what we're hearing from Taylor and the organization right now. Sort of a, you know, Harrington said it. They said it. I mean, basically, he wrote this at the trade deadline. Our team is on the floor. Well, it hadn't just not been good enough. It's been abysmal. You're 27th in defense since then. And sure, conveniently, we can say, I mean, maybe Marcus Smart did mean something just in terms of holding guys accountable, but that's, you can't put that on one guy. It's irresponsible. They've lost their defensive identity while trying to, you know, deploy this new offense that, yeah, looks good on paper, especially against the bad teams, and metrically has looked good. It's produced some good things. I mean, you're one of the two highest scoring teams in the league, but it also doesn't have job plan at its highest level. You've got job banged up, and so, no, man, we never thought it would be okay to flame out in a first-round series. We said, you got to get another one under Taylor Jenkins. That's why I hit, you know, that's why they're going to be judged in playoff time, because you've only got one playoff series win in this time for the two number two seeds and whatever it ends up being this year. You got one playoff series win. And so we can't, to use the phrase we often do in sports, where you can't move the goalposts. And it feels like we're headed towards that sort of finish. And again, I would bottom line it this way. That's not all on Taylor Jenkins. While he will probably be the guy who takes the blame in terms of he's the guy that's gone, this is obviously front office at the trade deadline. This is not good enough. We know you kicked the tires on some bigger deals. You didn't get it done ultimately. And so we'll be judging Taylor Jenkins, sure. But I think, too, if this gets spun as, oh, that's okay, it was a developmental year, because now we feel so much better about the Jaren contract. No, this is winning window. And in many ways, you've kicked the can down the road here in the second half of the season.
Yeah, Jeffrey made the point. I saw this. You making the point yesterday, Jeffrey, that that it's like someone who does well on one of the half of the SATs and bombs the other half. So they kill verbal.
You're bombing.
Whatever it is. And what they did is their drafting. Is this what you meant, Jeffrey? Their drafting's great. Like, their drafting has been great. But their ability to augment has been whiff after whiff. Has been whiff after whiff after whiff. I mean, it's just true. Like, there's no question. If you look at the difference with Oklahoma City, part of it is that Oklahoma City, well, honestly, it really goes back, even then, it goes back to they trade well, starting with the Paul George trade, and then everything they've done since, the acquisitions, as well as drafted well. Now, it's a hell of a thing to say you got to be better than Oklahoma City.
He's been doing it a long time, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, and that will be the charge for Kleiman and company is, okay, the same thing we said for Taylor, you know. Can you guys take it to the next level? We realize there are challenges, you know, particularly here in Memphis. We know that, you know, getting free agents to come here, and even guys in trade deadline stuff that, you know, have contracts, superstars. No, they're not going to want to come to Memphis. So there are challenges, but that is your charge. That is your job. Yes, Jeff, you can check a lot of boxes, including drafting. I mean, my gosh, you got to put more in a check. You got to put a crown in that big smiley face there. But getting it to the next level, you know, that's what we're all looking at them now to do. I think we expected more than this, certainly, at least what we've seen in the second half. There's still an opportunity to get it back, get your swagger back.
Right.
But it's hard to feel optimistic about that when the face of it all is saying, man, I don't even know if I should be out there right now. And not to mention, again, you know, you have lost this defensive identity that, you know, you've been able to say, hey, well, we've moved on from grit and grind in the core four, but we've got this. We've been one of the better defensive teams. Even with the guys injured and out, that's been our identity. It's been gone. So you don't even have that right now to fall back on. Yeah, man, it's not fun to watch.
Yeah, we'll hope they pull it out tonight. Meantime, absolutely, the Memphis Tigers, 8 o'clock start tonight. They play South Florida. And although it's been a series of celebrations because you had the celebration after the win over UAB, and then you had the celebration after they clinched a share of the title at least. But now they get to celebrate at home, hopefully, one would imagine, please, with a win and an outright championship. I think this could be a nice way to wrap up what has been truly a uplifting bounce back season for Penny Hardaway and the group.
100%. I mean, you know, you saw the players giving out the free tickets yesterday. I say that to say you just hope they get sort of what is a thank you crowd, right? A crowd that's at least pleased or proud a little bit more. You know, I'm like you. I'm not expecting some huge crowd on a late tip on a Friday night, but it is senior night. You do have a great story. I know it is different, Jeff. I couldn't agree with you more than it used to be. But Musa Cisse is a guy that I think is one of those that you can sort of like in that old way feel good because you saw the beginning and now you're seeing the end. Right. You know, he's not one of these 1 year guys that you had to get to know here in this final season. That's not to downplay anything that Tyrese Hunter or Kobe Rogers has done, certainly. But with Musa, there's a story where he was, you know, in high school here in Memphis, you know it well at Lausanne, and comes back around. And here's the thing, Penny got the best version that we've seen of Musa in college out of him. Now, maybe he doesn't win. What's he won? Two conference defensive player of the year? Maybe he does. But my point is, what he has given them, whether as a starter off the bench, clearly has been a version they needed for chemistry, right? Particularly coming off of last season. Guy came back and was ready to play whatever role Penny Hardaway had him for, and you got a great version that whether, again, even as a, and John has made this point, and it's been a great one, you watch him coming off the bench, you're getting the same effort. That's good on Musa, great on Musa, great story, but also, you know, great job by Penny Hardaway, what's clearly been his best coaching job. I think we've talked about seeing best version of Penny this season. That's the thing about him with, you could almost go down the list. He has seemingly got the best version of these guys. Musa, we know a little bit better than the others because we saw the beginning out of them this year. And it's sort of all come together very nicely in a package that hopefully tonight is going to end with an outright AAC title. Yeah, you get to do it at home. You know, don't give them 22 turnovers. Don't make this thing as, you know, that in that way, I'm just saying, that way folks can really sort of celebrate this. Penny can celebrate it. The team can. You know, that sort of tension that's been there when they've had the 13 turnovers in the second half against UTSA, hopefully they can avoid that, and it can be a nice night where everybody's, you know, properly praised those seniors, and you get out of there holding up that outright. You go in next week as the number one seed.
Yeah, it's and, of course, you had Penny Hardaway on your show a couple days ago. What struck you most from that conversation?
How open he was about the and it that probably made the most news out of the interview. I mean, he gave us a good 22 minutes, so there was quite a bit there. But how open he was when John asked him, I told somebody else this, when John asked him about P.J. Haggerty and next year, I cringed a little bit because typically in that instance, a lot of times you hear from coaches, man, we got to finish this year, John. It's a little early to be looking at next year. And so that was me anticipating an answer that, you know, maybe you hear from some coaches. Penny jumped right in. Said, yeah, man, we got to get him back, obviously. And then, and more importantly, fans can have a lot to do with that, whether it's supporting him with love, social media, hey, come back, PJ, but more importantly, what you could do now in the NIL space. And so how ready he was to be open about that right now sort of surprised me. The transparency we've continued to see. And you know, Penny told us about where he was, you know, this summer and how he looked in the mirror and said, you can do better, looking at himself. I think the great thing is a lot of guys, you do that, and maybe you don't see, you know, it's one thing to say it, Jeff, you know this, all of us that have tried to change or be better at whatever that facet of life is, it's another thing to take those steps daily. And I think that's another reason why this story, in terms of, you don't typically see, I've said this too on our show, it's not the first time I've said it, when you can get sort of instant validation like that, when you can make the changes and then see it come together, that doesn't, it's not, I was telling Gabe that early this week, it's not always promised you're going to see the change or get that best version, and certainly not right away. So the fact that this has all seemed to happen, best version of Penny, he's thrown out worrying about what the critics are saying, and what it's given him is a piece that we've all said, man, you got to get. You can't worry about all these arrows coming at you. You got to coach your team, and he's been able to do that, and clearly on the floor you're sitting in terms of, I mean, Dane Danger, just in the response from the benching. Look, that's coaching, like I've told you. This guy's beating Hall of Famers. You know, Izzo, Kelvin Sampson's going to be one. He's won a conference tournament title. But until you do what you're supposed to do, right, folks can still say, okay, well, those were all flukes, right? College basketball is a long season. But when you start getting regular season conference titles, right, hopefully conference coach of the year awards. Remember, Penny Hardaway was this is a second career for him. Well, that's all validation that the changes you made worked for you. And no, does that mean a Sweet 16 this year and it takes off from here and he's going to five? No, it doesn't necessarily promise you that at all. But what you feel good about, Jeff, especially as we came into this season, 2 weeks out, he's firing coaches, everything else. You feel good about the future of the program because where Penny Hardaway is right now individually and where it feels like he has the program just in terms of the energy off of that.
Yeah, it feels like he has a little bit of the recipe. And just in terms of the P.J. Haggerty stuff, you just would imagine a year ago we were talking about how is Penny going to go back to these boosters and ask for more money when they see the money they just spent got him that mess, you know? And now he can go back and say, the money you just spent, you got your P.J. Haggerty and got your Tyrese Hunter, who all he does is care about winning. Like, that's the other part. Like, the fact that these guys are not all seniors who've been here 4 years,
right,
makes it a different celebration. But also, the fact that they then bought in the way they did, came together the way they did, on the fly the way they did, I think speaks incredibly well of them. But I think the main thing is, you talk about the future, is Penny now has a recipe, and he has something he can sell going forward as he continues. Let's be honest, he's going to have to raise a, you know, they're going to have to
every
put
year
a big pile of money ahead of P.J. Haggerty if they want to bring him back. Love is great, but money talks.
There's no, especially if he wins that Jerry West Shooting Guard Award, which, I mean, frankly, you know, where Memphis is, I guess Chaz over at Tennessee's got a case to be made. But I like P.J. Haggerty. I mean, it just drives the price up. So there's no question. But you feel, you know, because of P.J. Haggerty having, as you say, one of his, you know, his best season under Penny, you've got that going for you. You know you're going to have the money. Imagine this. You talk about blessing in disguise. And we all said this was the right thing to do. And I'm not suggesting this will be the thing with PJ, because I think with PJ, it's just like DeAndre Williams. If you're going to keep Kim, if you're going to keep culture, you need to keep guys like this. But how about the blessing in disguise that was David Jones not returning?
Oh,
because if David Jones 100% returns, you likely don't have PJ Haggerty, right? There's that part of this, and certainly the chemistry that's been, you got David Jones that you're catering to. And we were all saying that's the right thing to do. I mean, the media was saying it. Penny Hardaway was saying it. And we couldn't believe when David Jones, you know, said no. And David, that's the wrong thing to do. We were so convinced that he needed to come back to be a centerpiece. But my point is, you know, there's been some, you know, you got the right roster. Penny's got the everything seemingly pointing in the right direction with his head and the way he's coaching. But you've also had a little bit of luck, a little bit of blessing in disguise along the way too. Because if David Jones is the centerpiece of all this, I mean, who knows what it looks like? Who knows how we're talking about the future of the program? Heck, maybe they're better, but there's a good chance, you know. And what's so funny is we were all saying it was the right thing to do. How wrong we appear to be. Again, I phrase it blessing in disguise that way, that you get P.J. Haggerty. And hopefully, Jeff, to go back to where you go, multiple years, P.J. Haggerty, at least two.
All right. Jason, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Take care, brother.
Jason and John, every single day from 11 to 2. I got to hand it to you, Jeffrey. I remember way back when, didn't you have the hot take?
David Jones isn't a winning basketball player.
And yeah, you'd be better off without him.
Yep. I've always believed that.
Yeah, he's infuriating. Being a teammate of his would have been a complete disaster. No fun whatsoever. Do we have any idea if we're going to have Chris or not? It's fine if we don't. We can give him the day off. Chris is at shoot around with the Grizzlies down there in Dallas. So we may or may not have Chris today. So what we're going to do is take a break, and we're going to see. But we got Sam Hardiman coming up after that. Sam Hardiman talking about everything that has happened in the city. He missed earlier the week because he was otherwise occupied. So we do have a busy second hour. I will tell you in the meantime that if you are looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union is, of course, the one that I recommend. It's the one that I recommended to my wife, the one I recommended to my wife's son. They've both signed up. They both have great things to say about it. They both had a great experience signing up. Conroy loves the app, says it's unbelievably great technology. And I said, well, that's of course, because it's a credit union and you're a member. You're not just a customer, you're a member. And every dollar gets plowed back into better rates, better technology. If you're looking for a home loan, looking for an auto loan, or you're just looking for a bank because you're sick of your bank's S, try Leaders Credit Union. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.